Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. Chris Cavanaugh is here, folks. I'm glad she's here, too. She is one of our favorite Brain Trust members, coming all the way from Toronto, Canada. She has been an educator. She's worked in the marketplace. She has written a book, and that's called Your Email, Thinking Outside the Inbox. I love that title. She's done it all, and she is one of our top email experts in our Brain Trust and probably the top email expert on the planet. She's our good friend, Chris Cavanaugh. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you very much, Jim. It's a pleasure.
How are things in Canada?
Things are good. I don't want to say things are cold, but, we've had a harsh winter this year.
Have you? What happened to global warming?
It didn't hit us this year. We almost broke a 70-year record for snow in Toronto.
Now, see, here's what I'm confused about. You guys have had a cold winter, and yet I just saw a report that said that the ice cap is melting.
Yes.
So I'm confused about that.
Well, I think global warming is occurring in certain large spots, and then in other spots, it's hitting us differently.
Right. That's very interesting. But we'll say that for another day. Talk to us about what's the news on email.
Well, I think the news on email, and what I've been thinking about most is how do we conserve email? There's a lot of talk around there about conserving the environment and energy and this type of thing, and I think we need to apply the same to email. I still think I see too many useless emails that go back and forth. Recently, I just went into an inbox of mine, and I could see 6 or 8 emails trying to make an appointment with 3 people.
Wow.
You know, and I'm thinking to myself, why do we have to have so many emails clogging our inbox just to make an appointment?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if we thought about it enough, then we could kind of conserve there. I think what tends to happen is that one person throws out a message, can we all meet on this day? And then everybody starts pressing the reply to all button.
Right, I hate that.
And this is the problem. This is problem number one.
I keep getting these, and I don't get a lot of these, but occasionally I'll hook up with an organization, and they do a lot of that sort of thing. And before I know it, I'm getting all these replies, and then there may be 6 people in the original mail. And then there's 2 of them who have this little conversation, just the 2 of them, and it's not even about what we're talking, what the original issue was, but yet they keep hitting reply to all, and I'm thinking, I don't need to know this. This is too much information.
Well, that's right. And so what it does is 2 things. One, it clogs up your inbox. 2, you're looking at this message going, do I open it or do I delete it? And once you figure out you're going to delete it, that takes time. 3, the next set that keeps coming in, you're sort of going, oh, get a life, people. You know, you start to get annoyed. So I'd say that conserving email, when it comes to making appointments, I think we have to stop pressing reply to all and only go back to the original.
Right.
You know, the person who starts the sending has to be the one that completes the transaction and gets all the messages.
Right.
You know, so something very important, but, you know, again, I think people forget themselves.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing on that is under conserving email, I think people should... You know, it shouldn't always be that you're going in every 5 minutes or you're at the ready.
Don't be tethered to your email.
Exactly. Because one of the advantages of that is that if you go in like 10 minutes every hour or whatever, and you saw a whole bunch of these email threads that came from, you know, the replies to all of a sudden you open your inbox, you see 8 of these messages, you can immediately delete them all except the last one.
Right.
Don't even look at them. Don't even think about them. Delete them and just go to the one at the top.
Speaking of stuff we don't need, is spam getting worse?
It is. It is. Spam filters are good, thank heavens. But
they can be a little bit dangerous, though.
Well, because
they can filter things that you don't want to be filtered. In fact, you know, I mean, we have some new spam filters. I have some new spam filters on my desktop as well as through my ISP, and it's catching stuff sometimes that's from us.
Yes, and that becomes a bit of a problem. I don't have a good solution for that other than all the spam gets captured and goes into a junk email folder. And what I tend to do two or three times a day is I go through that folder quickly, looking for messages.
You get to where you know how, you get to where you know how to do it quickly, don't you?
Yeah. You can quickly, because a lot of them are all, you know, just talk.
What about all the ones in Russian? Why do they send me the things in Russian? Don't they know that I can get rid of that? That I obviously can see that that's spam.
Yeah, well, I get them in Japanese.
Yeah.
But it is a good habit, unfortunately, that we have to get into to, like, cruise through some of the spam quickly, looking for the things that aren't junk. And then when you click on that, you can actually go up above and say not junk, so it'll never go back in again.
Right.
But it is unfortunate that all this kind of superfluous.
Now, say that part again now.
If you click onto a message when you're in your junk email folder and you just highlight the message that is legitimate, a menu item will come in Outlook. A menu item will come up above, and it'll say "not junk." You know, on the menu bar.
Right.
There'll be something there that says "not junk," and then you.
And so instead of transferring it to your inbox, do the not junk thing.
Yeah. And so
and that will essentially transfer it to inbox.
Exactly. And then,
by the way, I use Eudora. I don't use I may be the only person in the world who's never used Outlook. I've never sent or received one email in my life from Outlook.
Oh dear.
and I'm cool with that. I use Eudora.
Yeah.
And they have if you do the right click on that, there's a link on there that says not junk too.
Exactly. So that's the key, is that to look for the not junk, press that, and then that message will not again go into the spam filters.
Right.
But
it
is an unfortunate way of life now for workplace email, that there is a level of spam that is just out there. You know, it almost feels like it's 2 feet deep. But at least the filters are keeping it at bay, and I don't think that there's a way for us to get rid of that.
Right.
I think the only thing we can do is block it.
Right, exactly. Stand by, Christine. We're going to take a quick break, folks, right back after these messages with our good friend Chris Kavanaugh, the author of Managing Your Email, Thinking Outside the Inbox. I'm going to ask Chris, what's the future of email marketing? Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Check them out and use them to your advantage. We built them for you. No barrier to entry. If you can get there, we'll let you come in and hang out with us. Use our stuff. Smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. Two different things that you can do at those places. So use them up, and we like it when you do. Christine Kavanaugh is with us. Chris is the author of Managing Your Email, Thinking Outside the Inbox. Chris, give us your website, please.
It's www.christinakavanaugh, all one word, .com. No you in the Kavanaugh.
Right. So check that out. And it's, the book is outstanding. It's a very instructive book. I encourage you to buy the book or buy a couple of them and pass it around your office. Let your employees read this book. It will help them be more effective and more efficient, I think, Chris, and I know you agree with me on that. That's another thing, another area, Chris, that I want to talk about in a minute, and that is, you know, how to help your employees to be more effective. Because, you know, you were talking earlier about how each one of us can become, you know, inefficient and unproductive with email. You know, it turns, the tool turns into a time thief. But what if you leverage that? What if you multiply that by all the people in your organization, and then you put a pencil to how much opportunity is being lost, how much inefficiency and unproductivity is being created? You know, that can be scary, can't it?
Well, it is. I calculated it in the book. It's an hour a day per employee on low value, you know, email.
And that'd be conservative, an hour a day, I think, these days.
Yeah, it would be. And that's, you know, that's not including the 2 hours or 2.5 hours we spend on legitimate email. That's one hour on all the stuff we don't need.
And so multiply that times your payroll, folks.
Yeah, it's 12% of your corporate payroll every year that goes towards dealing with low-value email.
Holy mackerel.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is scary.
12% of what you do, that's easy math, folks. You could probably do it in your head.
Yeah.
And that's a scary number. If you start getting projectile sweat over this, you probably need to buy Chris's book and start using it. Talk to us about the future of email marketing. Is email marketing effective today, and is it good for the future?
Wow, you asked some difficult questions. Email marketing has had a lot of success in the past, and it's probably why we kept seeing it, because there'd be up to about 8% of people who would actually respond to email marketing. But
as opposed to 1 or 2% if they were lucky for a mass mailer, for a direct mail, where 4% would be like a Grand Slam home run.
Exactly. And I think the key with email marketing and why it's like 8% is because they can shoot it out. They get a list of, we're talking, they'll send out 1 million emails.
Right. And it costs very little for that the cost of that compared to direct mail is minuscule.
Is negligible. So the more successful e-marketing companies with the 8% rates usually have about 10 million email addresses that they can send out to. As far as the future, I'm not sure. I'm going to only speculate to say that it's not as effective as I think it once was. I think people are more responsive or able to go out to websites themselves, and so I don't think that e-marketing I think is getting a little soft.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm not sure. I think people also do tend to sort of. They get used to it. It's like junk mail. When you get the direct mail stuff, you know, you start pitching all that stuff, you stop opening it, and I believe that that's what's going to start happening with.
Well, here's where I think it's got minimal opportunity from a mass standpoint, but from a targeted standpoint, from an opt-in standpoint, I think it can still be very powerful.
Because if
you do business with a small business and they know what you like, and they get it in for you, like a market. Let's say a market knows that you like a certain kind of lettuce or whatever, and you're one of 100 people that they know like a certain kind of lettuce, and they get a fresh shipment in, they know you want it to be fresh, they send that to just those 100 people, and I'm sure they could sell a lot of lettuce that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and targeted always works, whether it's electronic or whether it's just done in different ways. The most successful businesses have been the ones that have, you know, targeted their message.
And so, see, that's the beauty of this, though, is not to have everybody one size fits all, but have your customers cross-reference in the different things that they like, and that way you can target these people.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think of the analogy of the distribution list at work, where you've got all employees, and they don't need to know every message that goes out to all employees. And if you targeted a message at a department saying, look, you know, the washrooms aren't working on your floor or the lights are out, great. But the problem becomes it takes time and effort to do the targeting. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just a lot easier to press one button and say, just send it out there.
Right. Well, but when you're a small business, though, if you're blasting, if you send a bunch of stuff to people that they're not interested in, they're going to, next time you send them stuff that they might be interested in, they're not going to be, it's not going to have as much value for them, is it?
Definitely. Yeah. They're going to just say, oh, no, I don't want to see that anymore.
Yeah. Christine, give us your website again, please.
It's www.christinacavanaugh.com.
Christina Cavanaugh, ladies and gentlemen. She says I can call her Chris. And the book is called Managing Your Email, Thinking Outside the Inbox. I encourage you to check it out. Buy the book, buy a couple of them, and pass it around and work off of it with your employees. Thanks, Chris, for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time.
My pleasure, Jim. Take care.
See ya. Quick break. Stay with me. I'll be right back with Esther Dyson.
House is only another mile.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.